Amen. That's the wrong one. Let's take this one.
Give me that.
Give me that thing. Get this thing off me. Praise the Lord. Give this band another just love offering. How much we love them. Thank you, Jesus, for them. Look at this. I'm double-fisted today. Got two of them. Thank you, Jesus. Mom bought me this one. Did you mean to buy it, or did I buy it just with your money? So, huh. Anyway.
Both.
Glory be to God. It's an honor to have new people this morning. I feel like there's several of you that I haven't seen in a couple months. So I'm new. Someone hand me a visitor packet. It's an honor to have... going from Austin, Marble Falls, the Burnet area. They come from Florence. People come from... we've had people come from far south Buda, all the way south Austin. Where does... let's see, you come from what? Mason? Hext. Yeah, just this side of it, which is how far? Well, it's the other side. That's right. It's further. Say hour 45 to get here. How far, Kenny, do you come from? 55 miles? Huh. That's good. Good time to pray right there. And then people are just live across the road, you know. And thank God for that. You just can walk over. Amen. That's kind of, I like that. Just walk. But it's an honor to have you. So what we want to do here is hopefully when you came in, you got a visitor packet and they recognize maybe not seeing you. Not knowing who you are. We also have had people been here for a year and we thought they were new. I've been here for a year, man. So that's why we want to greet people and get to know them. And so if you've never been here before, would you allow our church just to welcome you? All we need to know is who you are, right where you're at, if you don't mind. If you've never been hit to Cowboy Church before, would you raise your hand? Just let us welcome you in Jesus' name. Thank y'all. Thank you for being here. Honored to have you. Thank you guys very much. Now, if you got a visitor packet, inside it is a pen and a visitor card. If you don't mind, pull that thing out and fill it out for us. And we'd love it. We'd love to have someone call you just one time. We don't harass people. But I always say it like this, it's a great time when we call you. If we have to leave a message, call back. But that's when you ask questions. What does this church believe in? Well, that's simple. We believe in the Word. Amen? How we have started. Or if you have some prayer requests, we've got an incredible intercessory prayer team that meets every Sunday, and they just bring things to the Lord, and they pray, and their prayers. Matter of fact, if you have a heart to pray, you need to be in that prayer team on every Sunday morning. You need to be there, and because I think it's really, really important that we get into prayer. How many of you know? Listen to me, and I'm sure it's happening right now. So I come against any devil that would try to distract this service, that would try to cause division of any kind. Because see, it happens anytime, especially when pastor leaves. You know, that's a time when the enemy thinks he has us. But I have a team. Have y'all enjoyed our ministers while I've been gone? I have a team that, they preach the Word. And I'm not concerned about them changing the vision. I've never had a church split in 30 years of ministry. And I don't agree with them. I don't believe in them. It doesn't make any sense to have a church split. So we don't allow that to happen in our church. And you know what I do? I take authority. I take authority over the enemy that wants to destroy what's going on in the kingdom of God and in people's lives. How many of you know that this is just a building? Because you are the church. You got to understand that. This is just a building where we as the church meet as a group, but you're the church. We're going to be talking about some things this morning that we're going to remind ourselves of. But before we do that, I want to minister just real fast. And y'all, don't wait on me. I've always told you, get it. Don't wait on me to pass out offering envelopes. But I think it's time that we clap, that we have an opportunity to give to the Lord. Amen? Now, I was studying, and you know, I always want to see what God wants to say about some different things. And I was reminded of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm sorry, it's chapter 9. And it's verse 10. And here's what the Word of God says. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. In the King James, it says it this way. Now he that ministers seed to the sower both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown. Listen to that. And increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now, the Lord told me, most of all of our church know, but I tell it every now and then. The Lord told me when we started this church almost 18 years ago to not take a salary. And so when I told the folks that became the elders of the church and some of the leaders that I wasn't going to take a salary at this church, it was like, wow, what are you going to do? How are you going to make it? And I told them, well, what's going to happen is the first thing that they told me when I was moving here, because I knew God wanted to start something around here, I just didn't know exactly where. We started in Marble Falls looking for a home, and I think they wanted us to go to Georgetown, and we didn't like anything that we were shown until we got to Liberty Hill. And it just so happens that we knew some ranchers that had come to a camp meeting that I was at in Fort Davis, Texas, years ago. And we knew them, and they've heard we was here, and lo and behold, as y'all know the story, we started Cowboy Church at the Smiling V Ranch right around the corner. It's not even a mile away. And God just did it. Well, the first thing that was told to me when I was saying, hey, I believe God wants to start an outreach or a church here, and we had this camp meeting. My spiritual dad, Glenn Smith, who is the reason that we have Cowboy Churches today, because he was the one God used in 1970 to sell his business and start ministering full time to the rodeo cowboys and to the horse shows and the cuttings and any kind of horse related event. Glenn started ministering to those people. He started the first service at the national finals in Oklahoma City at the time, and now in Las Vegas. And that's why now I preach at the Mandalay Bay at the national finals, because of Glenn Smith. He sowed a lot of seed, and cowboy world didn't want God back then. Matter of fact, there was only one rodeo clown from California named Wilbur Pfluger that would just do a Bible study every now and then, because they didn't want God. They were very respectful, said yes ma'am, no ma'am, yes sir, no sir. They understood some things of God, but they didn't want him there. And Glenn started sowing the seed. And now you can do a church service at a rodeo and there'll be 100 show up. But one thing that Glenn taught us, and then my mom and dad being in the ministry, is not to sugarcoat the Word of God. If the Bible says it, let's believe it. So when I told that group that I was not going to take a salary and they were wondering how I was going to make it, I told them, you know what I'm going to do? Is I'm going to make God my provider and not the church. God's going to have to put it on your heart to give something to me and my wife. I'm not going to beg for it. I'm not going to do gimmicks like I've seen before. No, I'm just going to trust God. And trust me, He is richly taking care of me and my family. Okay, listen though, because this scripture is what I stood on a lot when I didn't know if we were going to make it. I stood on this scripture. Look at it in the Amplified, because it says, "And God," he's the provider, right? "Will provide," who provides the seed to the sower. We're the sower, and we're going to plant seed this morning. Who provides seed to the sower and bread for eating will also, listen to this, provide and multiply your resources for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness. In other words, when you plant the seed and God is the provider, he's going to cause it to grow and produce the harvest so that you can plant more and you can sow more. What are we doing here this morning? We're learning and receiving from the Word of God. But what does God do? He caused a principle for us to live in called sowing and reaping. Most people understand the sowing, but they don't understand the reaping. When you sow the seed of a tithe, a seed of an offering, a seed of a first fruit, a seed of alms, you're planting the seed so that the seed can grow and produce a harvest to plant more seed. So when you give to God, you've got to keep that in your mind. So me, trusting God, I have to understand that I've got to continue to sow in order to reap. And we've done that all our lives. I don't tell this very often, but I'm going to tell it one time. Maybe twice. Maybe a few more. Me and my wife gave away 6 vehicles this last year. Did y'all not hear that? We gave them. Okay, wait a minute. God had to bring it in for us to not be greedy and not be, praise God, I got it. No, we were able to sow vehicles to 6 different people. Why? Well, because God is the one that produced the seed so that we can sow it. Those people needed it. You think I'm going to be selfish and not obey God? Because that's when the seed stops for me to continue to sow. So sow the seed. That's what a tithe does. It opens the window of heaven for God to pour out the blessing so that your barns can't handle the blessing. It rebukes the devourer. The devil continually trying to steal from you. Break down the car so you'll spend extra money that you didn't have. That's what, when you're a tither, that's what God does. He rebukes the devourer. Amen. So when you give in that bucket, and you give in that bucket, I want you to give with those hearts. Father, I'm going to sow seed to get the gospel spread. And then watch the harvest come. Because that's what you got to believe for. Amen. So come give with a big old shout of praise. Would you come and let's have a great special. Janet's going to sing for us. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Praise the Lord.
I don't seek treasures that soon will be gone. But you died for me once. And I know this is true. All of my life, I'm living for you. Lord, hear my offering. It's more than just a song I sing. It's my life. And when I think upon the day, save me comes a praise song.
Yes, amen. This blesses me to see these little children up here helping with the offering and serving in this way. Y'all give them a hand. I just praise the Lord this morning for all he's doing, y'all, that we don't even know. I'm so thankful. All my hope is in Jesus. Be not distracted. Be not deceived. Don't look to the right or the left. Keep your eyes on the prize. All your hope is in Jesus, y'all. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Well, I've been held by the Savior. I felt fire from above, and I've been down to the river, and I ain't the same. I'm the prodigal return. Y'all sing this with me if you know. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. Oh, when I've been washed by the blood. I'm no stranger to the prison. I've worn shackles and chains. The enemy tried to keep me bound. He can't do it. I've been free and forgiven. And I ain't going back. I'll never be the same. Yes. That's why we're singing. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. Yes, all my sins are forgiven. Oh, when I've been washed by. Thank you, Lord. This old world try to break you down. Break you down to your knees. Well, I've been broken, Lord, a time or two. Oh, but he picked me up and showed me what love really means. Y'all give the Lord a hand, amen. Yes, yes, hallelujah. Precious blood. Yes, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Good job. Come on, give him a hand. Y'all can be seated. Good job. Amen. I'd give you a piggyback ride.
Oh,
but
I know you would.
Praise the Lord. Let's is it clear back there where we can allow people to roll in there? Amen. All right. Well, let's do it. Let's, with a big round of applause, youth group and our children's ministry can go out the back end with a big round of applause. See ya. Praise God. The cowbell has sounded. Amen. Glad you're here this morning. I believe we're going to have a great time. Would y'all agree with that? We'll have some things happen. That let's lift up one of our ushers who's kind of being under attack with his heart right now. And let's lift up Brandon. Father, the Word of God says that by the stripes, the beating that Jesus took, Brandon's healed. We speak to his body, whatever is causing him to have shortness of breath, and we command that body, sir, to be lined up by the Word of God in Jesus' name. We will not accept anything other than complete restoration, wholeness, complete healing. And Father, we give you praise. In Jesus' name. Now say amen to that.
Amen.
Now, everybody in the back, come on up to the front. We don't need 16 people back there. Y'all just come on to the front and let's have some church. Because here's the thing about the power of God. When we pray by faith, we don't have to worry any longer. And we got to stand on that. So we stand here understanding that we just did our job and we believe. How many of you know that's a good thing to do is believe? Say it with me. Y'all know the scripture. All things are possible to them that believe. So we are a believing church. I think we're around enough people that don't believe. And we are believers. We're winners. We're not doubters. We're not losers. We are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Do you hear me? I mean, that's who we are. Wow. We are an heir of God. Everything that God has is ours. But it takes us believing and having faith. And so, with that said, let's get into something that I think we need to be reminded about. My phone has rang off the wall. I've been messaged about this COVID thing trying to rear its head again. And what it's caused, which is what it caused well over a year ago, is it caused fear to come in, and it causes people not to come to church. It causes the older generation to get in fear because it attacks bodies and lungs and causes pneumonia and things like that. Matter of fact, there's been people that are young as well as old that have died. My family, we just been dealing with he was a Baptist preacher where I got born again, Notice, New Mexico. He was my uncle. And I think when he just went to heaven a couple of days ago, and I believe they said it was because of COVID. His daughter is in the hospital in Albuquerque right now, and believe in God. I got a message from some Indian friends of mine that won second the college national finals and said that their dad was in the hospital with this COVID pneumonia stuff. I've been messaged about taking the vaccine and all these kind of things. And what do I think about the vaccine? You want me to tell you? I'll tell you. And this is just me. I'm not against it. I always tell people, if you have peace about taking the vaccine, that's fine with me. But I'm not gonna. That's just me. I've always felt like, and I have this rule, that if there's something that you can take that kills the virus, and wouldn't you know it, in the cowboy world, it happens to be horse warmer. Ivermectin. Anybody can buy it at a vet supply. I always figured that if there's anything, and listen to me, all my dad's side of the family are doctors. My two nieces just graduated from medical school. So I believe in doctors. But you know what I believe more in? The great physician. Okay, so what I have to do as a pastor is I'm not going to come against the vaccine. That's fine with me. If you feel like you're supposed to take it and you got peace, do it. Do it. It's not sin. But I just don't want to. I don't want to because what usually happens is you take it because of fear and not because you have peace. So what we do at church then as a pastor is we remind ourselves of what does the word say? Anything that ever leads you because of fear is not faith. Okay? That's why I say if you've got peace, the peace of God that passes understanding about taking a vaccine, then you need to do it. And I'm not against that. But just do not let it cause fear to come in. You are not moved by fear. The Bible tells us that we don't have a spirit of fear, but we have a spirit of power. Dunamis power, praise God. And when you understand that power, man, it'll change your life. We don't have a spirit of fear because God didn't give it to us, but He gave us that power, love, and soundness of mind. Okay. So, as I was praying last week and all these things are happening and people are, I'm serious, they're dying. Young and old, and this thing has reared its head back up, then we need to do exactly what we did over a year ago when the pandemic started. And we were the only church that kept going, really. We never closed our doors. Listen to me. I'm telling you, there are still churches in California and some in Austin, Texas, that are still not meeting in person. And I'm telling you, if you don't understand and discern that that is an enemy trying to stop the move of God in your individual life as well as a corporate gathering, then you need to wake up. Because that's why the enemy steals, kills, and destroys. He's wanting to stop the move of God. He's wanting to shut you up. That's why there's masks. You can't understand anybody that has a mask on. I said, what'd you say? That could be tongues, but I don't know. I can't understand it. I know they have the face. I mean, wow. So I don't like masks. I'm not against a mask, though. I'm just against the government making us wear the thing. If you want to wear it, I'm okay with that. If it's wisdom, I would do it. But I don't want a government telling us how to do it. We live in the land of the free, the home of the brave, man. Okay, what else? What else? Because the enemy then tried to divide us and separate us. And that was the worst thing that we could have done. It's not social distancing. Man, I try to get close to people on purpose. You know, when they're still 6 feet back from the line, I get up there, man. What's up, dog? Hey, what's going on, man? I want to get close to somebody, you see. Because you know what caused more people to die? Loneliness. When the older community had to be by themselves and people, family, couldn't even come see them. Well, that's trying to rear its ugly head back up. And we're going to come against it in Jesus' name. Okay. All right. So let's once again turn in our Bibles to Psalms 91. Psalms 91. Everybody that has a Bible, flip it over. The reason you don't see us putting the scriptures up here right now, and I'm not against it, but I don't want them to do it right now because I want people to get used to bringing their word to church. If you don't have a Bible, you let us know. We'll buy you one. We'll bless you. We have cowboy Bibles. Just get it for free. I know it's only the New Testament, but that's a great place to start because we're a New Testament church. Amen? We don't live by the law. Thank God we don't live by rules and regulations. We live by the freedom of grace and mercy in Christ Jesus. And that's why He died. Okay? All right. So since all of this is coming back up and they're starting to shut down other states. We heard that in Las Vegas, which could affect the National Finals Rodeo, they might bring back on the mandates of masks and maybe even shut down that. There's rumors going around that they may not have the National Finals at Las Vegas. I don't see that happening. But We're still the church and we're still born again people. And we got to start acting like it. So let's remind ourselves again of our protection. Listen to me very carefully. Psalms 91 in the King James first. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Now, I'm going to keep reading just for a second, but before I do, you have to understand that this means more to me now than it did just a few years ago, because 5 years ago, I was in a rodeo arena in Burwell, Nebraska, and I was at the end of the first go-around, so that means that about 40 to 50 other contestants had already gone before me. And any time you have big animals, then they're tearing up the ground and they're planting and turning and doing different things. And so when I go a few from the end of the go around, the ground is already tore up. And when I come across there and I rope this steer, my horse started left and he tripped and he slammed me to the ground. I was knocked out. I don't know how, because I got a pretty hard head, but it was very, very traumatic. My boy, Seth, was at the back end of the arena on his horse, helping push out steers. My wife was at home. My daughter was not there. And it was a very bad thing. Not just contestants, but their wives were jumping over the fence to get to me. And they were laying hands on me and praying over me. They told me as I woke up and really came to in the hospital and they had this neck brace on me, and that was the worst part. As for some reason, I started getting claustrophobic. And I said, man, just get this thing off me. And I'm speaking the word of God, you know, and they're just medical people and they're doing their job. And they told me that we have a helicopter ready and an airplane ready, because I'm sure you have brain swelling or bleeding. And I don't know if I spoke it out loud, but in my mind, I'm like, that ain't happening. I don't have any of that. And because of the power of prayer, because of who I am in Christ Jesus, when they did the CAT scan, they couldn't even find a concussion. See? But listen to me. But I scared a lot of people. It had an opportunity to bring back fear in my mind the next time I got on my horse to rope. And I had to be an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb, the word of my testimony, like Revelation says. Okay? But Psalms 91, though, became a whole lot different to me. Because it wasn't just something that I'm saying, He's my refuge and my fortress. No, I really started taking that to heart and finding out what that was to me. Psalms 91, see. He'll cover thee, verse 4. Well, go back to verse 3. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He'll cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be the shield and your buckler. You know what that means? He protects you on the front and the back. Thou shalt not be afraid by the terror by night, or the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, or the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side. I know most of you can quote this. 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh me. That's something we ought to shout about. Okay, watch though. Only with thy eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, shall any plague come nigh my dwelling. He shall give His angels charge over me, keep me in all my ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion, the otter, the young lion, the dragon, shalt thou trample under feet, because He set His love upon me. Therefore I'll deliver him. I'll set him on high because he's known my name. He shall call on me, I'll answer him. He'll be with me in trouble. I'll deliver him with honor and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show my salvation. Now give the Lord praise right there. Okay? Now listen. Because now I want to minister this and read it to you in the Passion Translation. Amen. When I saw this, oh man, it got me excited. That's why Mom bought this for me. I was like, I want to see it right here. Because I just read it out of the King James. I have the Amplified right beside the King James. I'd always try to encourage you, if you're planted in this church and you're a member, by the way, anybody that wants to join this church next Sunday is going to be your time. I want you to. You need to. It's time you start planting somewhere, because where you're planted is where you grow. You got to get planted. Don't just church hop. Find a place where you plant, because that's where we're going. And most people, or a lot of them, will come the first time and know that this is the church to plant in. You don't have to be a cowboy. Don't you notice there's a lot of non-cowboys here? The cowboy part is just a bait because of the rancher or the farmer that thinks they have to wear a suit to come to church. So we just let them know, no, I'm one of you. Just come as you are and come and receive the engrafted Word of God. But I'll tell you something else, though, real fast. Is the reason God is using the Western world and the cowboy world is we're the last culture, the last sport of people that still is honoring God, even with a prayer before a rodeo. You don't see that in any other sport. They don't pray before the football games any longer. They don't pray before the baseball games and the basketball games. They don't pray before the soccer matches. But I'm here to tell you, at most every rodeo, they pray and they seek God. Okay, that makes us all bold in Christ. And God is using the cowboy, the Western person, the country person, because we're still bold. We're one of the last cultures of people that's still masculine. We're not trying to be women, and women are not trying to be men. Hopefully. The problem, though, is we've seen a lot of the world and the way the world's working, and women have to become men because the men won't be men. Not at this church. Men are men. And God created us different. We won't go there, though. But it's time that we start having men become men so that the women won't have to. And that's kind of the order of God. Now, we need to be the head of our church. Not control, but spiritually the head. Amen. Okay. So the Western world is a big part of the end time, boldness that we're going to need, especially when our government is trying to take God out of how this country was founded. And so we're fighting against that. Amen. And listen to me. We will prevail. Because God's a big God. He's the one that created all those hooligans. I mean, he created them, so trust me, he can take care of it if the church would rise up and stand. Okay? Now, okay, so with all that said, and before we get into this Passion Translation, I'll finish, if you have a Bible and you come to this church, try to get, whatever. What is all that? Oh, looky here, y'all. It's a little bookmarker of Psalms 91. I like that. Amen. Oh, this is the family social deal they're going to have. I'll announce that later. Just be there, though. Okay. If it was me, this is what I'd do. I'd get you a parallel Bible with the King James on one side, the Amplified on the other, because you're going to stay with me a whole lot more. And you got it on your phone, so that's fine. Whatever. How things have changed. Get your tablet out. Amen. Preacher's preaching from tablets now. I can't yet. So I'm gonna keep with the Bible. I want to see it and feel it. And then I don't know how to push all those buttons. I told someone yesterday, man, don't text me. I'm not a big texter. Because my thumb hits stuff and then it says weird words when I send it and I don't check it. Anyway, so just call me. It's a lot better. Listen to me. In the Passion Translation, real fast, and we're not going to get all the way through, but we'll finish it next Sunday. Check it out in the Passion. When you abide under the shadow of Shaddai. Now listen to me. I looked up a few of these words, obviously, because I want to know what they mean. I looked up that word abide. You know what it means? Because again, it's trying to tell us in the King James, he that dwells in that secret place of the Most High shall abide. So I looked up this word abide, and it's a Greek word. When you look it up in the Strong's Concordance, it's a Greek word that literally means all night. Matter of fact, it goes even further than that. When you abide in something, it's to stay permanently. You want to stay there forever. So how many of you know that Psalms 91 is just not something for believers to say, hey, I'm going to live under Psalms 91 in God's protection? No. You've got to abide there, you see. You've got to stay there permanently, because if you get out of God's protection, that's when the enemies, through his darts or whatever, can try to, John 10:10, steal, kill, and destroy. But when you stay under God's protection, then a virus that is trying to rear its head back up in a lot of control and domination to try to stop the church and the movement of God, he's trying to stop us from meeting again. He's trying to get fear back on people so that you stay home and you don't gather at restaurants any longer. You need to understand that if you abide under the shadow of El Shaddai, God Almighty, in other words, you know what Shaddai means? The God of more than enough. That's the God you serve, ladies and gentlemen. You don't just serve a God that's so far up there that you cannot see and you've got to yell to get his attention. No, you serve the Most High God, and he calls you the son and the daughter of the Most High God, the God of more than enough. The God that wants to protect you in all areas. If we would just get our chest back out and pull our shoulders back and tell the devil to get back under our feet, that we are not going to social distance again, we're not going to wear a mask again, we're not going to be in fear and scared of a virus again. No, we're going to trust and abide under the shadow of El Shaddai. Now check out what else it says in the Passion Translation. You are hidden in the strength of God Most High. He's the hope that holds me and the stronghold to shelter me. Now, I want to take just a second to talk about stronghold. I baited you with it earlier, but you need to understand that a stronghold is not necessarily bad. I know that we talk about, let me turn there, because I believe it's in 2 Corinthians, and I believe it's in, if you want to turn there, do it, chapter 10, because it says, verse 1, now I, Paul, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in the presence am base among you, and being absent, am bold towards you. But I beseech you, verse 2, that I may not bold, that may not be bold when I am present, with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, because how many of you realize just a quick lesson of who we are? We are a spirit. Okay? Your spirit is what gets born again. Okay? In other words, this fleshly body like it is right now will not go to heaven. But our spirit will. Okay? Then when the Bible says that the dead in Christ will rise first, it just means that the people that's been born again by the Spirit. Now their spirit's already in heaven. You gotta understand that. They're not sleeping. I know a lot of people preach that. They're not sleeping, but their fleshly body is sleeping. But that's not who you are. You're a spirit. You have a soul that lives in a body. Spirit, soul, body. Okay? Your spirit is what is born again. To be present, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So when a person dies, your spirit is with the Lord. But your body is still in the ground, possibly. It might not be. It might have got cremated. It might be in an ocean somewhere because of a plane crash. The body it means that it's a carnal thing. It's what is the word called? It's a corruptible body. Okay? But it's not what goes to heaven. So when it says the dead in Christ shall rise, the people that's been born again, God's going to give you a new body that can't ever get sick. Amen. It's called an incorruptible body. Amen. Okay, so don't get confused. That's all that means is those bodies that are still in the ground, when Jesus comes back to get us, God's going to give us a brand new body that can't ever get sick and die. An incorruptible body. Right now, because of sin, we have a corruptible body. That's why it gets sick. But listen, that's not who you are. You're a spirit that lives in this body. The Bible calls it the temple of the Holy Ghost. Okay? So we need to take care of this body, you see. But you have a soul. Your soul, right? Mind, will, emotions. Okay? So those three, you have to understand that we are a spirit. Now, all right? Now look, real fast again in verse 10, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our welfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Okay? Okay, so there are strongholds that are not good. For example, a stronghold could be a disease that's passed down from generation to generation. Y'all have heard me say before, if great grandmama has breast cancer, then grandma gets it, then mom gets it, then the daughter says, well, it's come down all those generations, I bet I'm going to get it. What we call that is a generational curse that just keeps coming down until someone breaks the curse. Ladies and gentlemen, you serve a Jesus that redeemed you from the curse of the law. You can literally break that curse. I've had to do it with alcohol in our family because my dad's granddad, right, Papa? He drank the ranch away, lost it by drinking. The one that probably would have been given to my dad because my dad was the only cowboy in the family. Wanted to be a cowboy. Well, we've had to literally break that curse. I've had to do the same thing with the disease called Crohn's. Because I found out after they took out 16 inches of intestine about 20 plus years ago and a little bit of the colon because I was sick for 7 years. I found out that up in our generations, I think Dad said it was an aunt, had Crohn's disease. So I broke that because it's not going down to my family. Plus, it didn't come down to me because I started believing God when the doctor said I had a disease called Crohn's. It was not curable, but it's manageable. I said, negatory, Ghost Rider. He said, did you hear me? You got a disease called Crohn's. It's not curable, but it's manageable. You'll have to take medicine for the rest of my life, rest of your life. And I said to him, I said, no, thank you. I don't receive that. I can imagine he thought I was crazy. He came back to my room one more time. He said, son, I don't know if you understand. By this time, I've got tubes all down my throat. I really can't say anything, but mom and dad are beside me. And he said, you've got a disease called Crohn's. You're going to have to stop rodeoing. I knew that was the devil. You're going to have to quit riding your horse. You're going to have to take medicine for the rest of your life to control this disease. And I said, no, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I've never taken one pill ever for a spirit of Crohn's. Why? Well, because I believed the truth of the Word of God, not the fact of the Word of, not the fact of what the doctor said. The fact was that I had a disease called Crohn's, but the truth was is that I was healed by the power of God in Jesus' name. Listen to me. I decided to believe the truth more than the fact, and the truth always overrides the fact. and I was healed by the power of God. But I had to break that curse from not going down to the next generation, you see. That's what it means when you start talking about strongholds. Because a stronghold can be bad like that. But really what this is talking about is that God's our hope who holds me in the stronghold to shelter me. Because a stronghold is, and I wrote this down, I love this, because it's like a walled city, like a mansion, like a border that has fencing. Like a home that has a fence or a door that has a lock on it. That's what a stronghold is. A stronghold is something that's strong, that is holding the enemy back from attacking you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if we want to be protected from this virus, number one, we're not going to live in fear. But number two, we're going to be in the stronghold of God Almighty. And when you live that way, I'm telling you, there is no devil in hell that can get us to living in fear because of a virus that was man-made. The enemy is the one that made that thing through men to try again to stop the move of God. Look at it, y'all. He's trying to stop the church. And I disagree. Now, I know it's created a lot of television ministries, and I love that. But there's something about you and I gathering together and touching and seeing each other and building our faith as a group of people. And I'm telling you, there again are churches that are not meeting primarily because the preacher's in fear. Because their congregation is older. No, the older gray-haired folk. We need to get up and we got to start showing these younger people that just because you get old doesn't mean you got to die of sickness and disease. The Bible says that there's power in your tongue over life and death. If we start saying with our mouths that, man, I'm a young man. Well, how old are you? Well, I'm 100. If we start saying and calling things that be not as though they were, we're going to start changing the way all of us think. You do not have to die sick. Just die whenever you want to. There's some people that are ready to go home. If that's you, then go home peacefully. But you do not have to concede to a spirit that's trying to cause you to think that you have to die sick. And that's what this virus is doing, y'all. It's got people so much in fear that we've got to be reminded that we're abiding, we're living, we're staying permanently under the protection of God Almighty. Amen. And if we live this way, we're going to remain in power. The power of God. So if someone's trying to convince you to take the vaccine and you don't want to, then you tell them you're protected because you're abiding under the shadow. If God tells you and gives you peace to take the stuff to help your faith, then take the stuff. I'm fine with that. But do not do it in fear. Amen. Next week, we're going to continue and finish this Passion Translation of Psalms 91. Do not miss. Matter of fact, I want you to bring 16 people apiece. Okay? Maybe one. And let them know that the real pastor is there. But I'm here to tell you, I can't thank Howdy Byers, our associate pastor. I can't thank Ricky and Rusty for carrying on what God has started. And listen to me, real fast. I know it's 12 o'clock and the Baptists always end at 12 and we try to get to the restaurant before anybody else and all that. But listen to me. You're starting to see the power of God show up like you've never seen. That baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you better get that on the inside of you and start. If you still are fighting that, man, we fight it as Baptists for a long time. But I'm telling you, once you dig into that power that Acts talks about, that day of Pentecost, oh man, that's what we're needing today. To be able to be those overcomers and overcome a lot of bad things that are happening in these last days. Do not fight that. I was told that tongues was of the devil growing up. I never understood that. Because I never heard anybody that was living for the world ever speak in tongues. None of my drinking buddies, they didn't ever say, wait a minute, I've got to speak in tongues. So imagine the enemy trying to keep it from us because he wants to keep the power away from us. He doesn't want us to be in, to have victory in our lives. He's wanting us to constantly go through all the bad junk. And we'll come out of it every now and then, but usually you stay right in that rut. You have the same problem rise up over and over and over and over. You get a little bit of victory and then you're back at it. No. You've got the power to be that overcomer that God wants you to be. Amen? All right. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for just all that you're doing here at this Cowboy Church. I thank you, Lord, what you're doing in our community. And Father, it is a pleasure to be back behind this podium. Oh, Jesus. But Father, I realize that there's a lot of work to be done out there in the field. And I pray that more people want to go out there when it's expensive and when it's hard and the ground is not very good to sow seed into, that we would continue to dig and dig and dig until we get as many people born again as we can. So Father, thank you for getting us all together again. But Father, I realize there could be someone watching or someone in this congregation that has never given their lives to Jesus. And Father, I ask you, as the Word says, that the Spirit of God would draw their heart to you right now. Right now. In Jesus' name. Every head bowed just real fast and every eye closed, if you don't mind. The only reason a preacher says bow your head is because you're doing it in honor of God. And then when they say close your eyes, it's just out of respect for your neighbor. Because listen to me. I want to give everybody the perfect opportunity to receive the Son of God named Jesus. So the question this morning with people that are watching and people that are here in this audience. What would happen to you if you died and stood before God? That means the Bible is really truthful. It's real. And it is. And everybody one day is going to stand before God. What is He going to say to you? If Jesus is the Lord of your life, if you confessed Him, remember Romans 10 and 9, if you confess Him with your mouth, that means out loud you got to say, Jesus, I make you my Lord. Come into my life. Save me. If He's the Lord of your life, that's why He was crucified, by the way. That's why He died. So that He can stand for you. And if you give Him your life, when you stand before God, God's going to say, well done. He's not going to remember the sin, y'all. Get that out of your mind. He's not going to bring up all the bad. No, He's going to just judge you on one thing. The Bible calls it the Great Judgment Day. He's going to judge you on one thing. Is Jesus the Lord of your life or is He not? If He's not, then He's going to say, depart. That's why there's a place called hell. Really wasn't made for you. It was made for Satan and his demons that got kicked out of heaven because they wanted to be God. But I always say it like this. As you know, Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. And that caused a sin nature. And we needed a Savior. Thank God for Jesus, y'all. But He'll say depart if you don't want to have anything to do with this God stuff. Please don't be that person. Please. That's why I travel, y'all. I know I'm away from my church and I don't want to be, but thank y'all for allowing me to be gone for a month or two. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? If he's not, I'm going to pray a prayer and I want you to pray it with me. And you'll notice that all these believers in here are going to pray it as well. We're all going to pray it. And we're going to pray it with you if you've never asked Jesus to come into your life. You don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell if you died. If that's you, pray this prayer out loud with all of us. You ready? Let's all pray it together. Say, Father in heaven, open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Forgive me of all my sin. Because this day, it's my God day. Because Jesus is Lord. And I'm going to heaven when I leave this earth. I pray this prayer to you, the Father, in Jesus' name. No one looking around, just real fast. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you asked Jesus to come into your life, when I count to three, you be bold. Don't you let fear come in. Be bold enough to say, hey, I just prayed that prayer for the very first time and I gave my life to Jesus. I want you to get that hand straight up and then just put it right back down. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front like I did when I was saved. No, it's right where you're at. If you just gave your life to Jesus, get that hand up at the count of three. Ready? One, two, three. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Honor to have you. Thank you all very much over there. Appreciate it. Glory be to God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You're so good, Father. Oh, I miss you. Thank you, Jesus. All right, look at me. Honor to have new people in the family. Amen. Now, y'all that got a Bible, that's how we want you to start. Please come back. If this is not a church for you, please find a church that preaches that Bible. Amen. It's an honor to have new family. As y'all know, they're going to do a family social. I believe that's how I love it. I love how they do it because it helps people get to know each other. It builds relationships, and our church needs it. So Sunday, August the 22nd, I believe that's in 2 weeks, correct? I want you to get this because it tells you where they're going to meet and what time they're going to meet on that Sunday evening. And so be a part of the family social. It doesn't matter how old someone is. Developing relationship is a very, very important thing. Next week, we're going to do a couple of things. We're going to have people join our church that has been coming and you believe that this is supposed to be your church. We don't do anything real big, but what we do is we make a covenant. And I think it's important. I'm not real big on joining, even though you're joining. Just because I was raised in a church where they voted you in. All those who received the Ross family signify by raising your hand. I was just hoping hands were raised. You know, what if they didn't? I always figure if you got voted in, you can get voted out. And so, if this is supposed to be the church you're planted in, then praise God. I want you to join and we'll make a covenant together. We'll pray over you and that's it. But also, we're going to dedicate some babies. I can't wait to lay hands on those little babies. And the Catholics baptize them. We don't do that. We dedicate them. There has to be a time we believe that they grow up, they receive Jesus. Amen? So, glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead.
Fear not, I am here and I am the great king. If you take me in your life, then I will be there. Fear not this deadly thing the world would throw at you. It is the world and not me. I am the great conqueror. I am the one that fights your battles. I give you the victory if you stand with me, says the Lord God.
Amen. Come on, give him praise. Amen. Thank you, brother. I knew you was going to do it. Amen. You're going to see a lot more of that, y'all. I'm telling you. Now, you notice I'm listening. Because when someone gives a message in tongues and then someone interprets, by the way, I don't have time for this, but There's a difference between your personal prayer language and that. That is called a gift. Okay? But I'm listening because prophet, or when they give the word in tongue, it better be uplifting and exhortation. And that was. Amen. Very proud. Thanks for your obedience. Amen. All right. Y'all ready to go? Okay. As you know, God does not stay here. The Bible says He never leaves you or forsakes you. So He gets to go with you. So when you leave, you get to take the Lord with you and keep Him there. And you're abiding. Amen. Stand to your feet. Oh, glory. Thank you for receiving me back. Appreciate you very much. I missed you. I can't wait for next Sunday. Matter of fact, I might be gone the following, but then I'm back again. So praise God. It looks like it's winding down. Continue to pray for me. I live in Psalms 91. And we're going to get through this year. Father, we love you. God, you're so good to us. Thank you for all you're doing in this church. Now, Father, as we leave, again, you don't stay here. You get to go with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. So, Father, thank you for the ones that gave their lives to you. Glory be to God. Thank you for the ones that call this church their home and they'll join next week. Thank you, Lord, for the ones that need to get baptized. Thank you, Lord, for the baby dedications and all the things that you're doing. And Father, we just give you praise. We also thank you, Lord, for the true, awesome healing that Brandon received and anybody else that needs it in Jesus' name. Amen. With a big round of applause, you're dismissed. Love you.